Let's pray. Father God, we're your people, and we're with this parable of the vineyard. It's where we'd like to be. If it's your kingdom, we pray that you will show us what kind of a heart we need to be aligned with you in the hospitality of your vineyard. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. Theologian Barbara Brown Taylor, whose words often inspire my own, said this about the parable of the vineyard. The parable of the workers in the vineyard is a bit like cod liver oil. You know Jesus is right, and you know it must be good for you, but that doesn't make it any easier to swallow. It seems so unfair, doesn't it? And whilst I'm with unfairness, if you've read the spotlight that's on the cover of your pew sheet, you'll notice how very hard Simon has worked this week. He has been so busy, and he has laboured in the vineyard of the three churches of this benefice, and in the heat of the day he's done that valiantly. However, whilst he's been doing that, I've been in the vineyards of southern France, enjoying the fruits of them with my friends, and I am so aware that I owe him. It hasn't been a fair week as far as we've been concerned in some ways. He's laboured and I've laughed and loved and raised a glass with my dear friends. I wonder what feels fair or not so fair in your own life. Maybe at this time, and maybe at particular times in your life as you think back over it. When was the time that you felt, this isn't fair? It doesn't feel okay to me, this thing that's happening. And if you can get a hold of that feeling, then you are in this parable. Somewhere in it, you will find yourself. And the landowner in the parables of Jesus is always God. And the vineyard represents his people and his kingdom. And so if we have that in mind as we look at the parable again, let's just keep with what it means at other deeper levels. So the landowner, he went out into the marketplace at 6 a.m. and he found people who were looking for work, and he offered them one denarius to work for him for a day. And that was a good wage. It was the same wage that was given to a Roman soldier at that time. So it was decent. And of course they agreed to do that. And they went out and they worked. And at noon, and then again at 3, and then again at 5, he went out again. And you have to perhaps have in mind that at 5 o'clock, there was very little of the working day left. By the time they went from the marketplace to the vineyard, it would have been less than an hour. So they didn't have much to do, really, those ones. End of the day, they're all called to get their wages, and the landowner calls the last ones first. And he gives them a full day's wage. And they are thrilled. They probably didn't expect that. And then the next ones who'd worked for less time than the ones that were the very first, they were given a denarius too. And everyone was given a denarius, even the ones who'd worked 12 times as long as the ones that were last. It is absolutely outrageous, isn't it? It's not right. Or actually, is it? Perhaps it is. Because everyone that went to the vineyard that day agreed to work and agreed for the pay that was right and fair for them. And they were given what the landowner felt was right and fair for them. And so maybe it's not fair. Maybe it's more than fair. Maybe it's outrageously generous, more than fair. So let's just let that sink with us, find a place in our hearts. God is always fair, and sometimes his fairness feels like it's more than fair. But who were the people who were in the marketplace at the end of the day, do you think, at 5 o'clock or so? Let's give them a thought, because in that culture at that time, people would have known who those people were. They'd have known that they were the elderly people, they were the disabled people, they were the people who nobody else wanted to hire, who couldn't do much anyway. And so they were left in the marketplace because they were not wanted. And they were given by the landowner enough for their needs and to look after their families and to be appreciated and valued for human beings, for who they were, no matter that they couldn't do as much as others could do. When you picture that scene, and it still happens in parts of the world today at harvest time, where workers are in the marketplaces wanting to be hired, and the best get chosen, and the least well get left. It happens. But even if we don't live in a culture where we can imagine that, what we do know, don't we, is that in our world today, and in our maybe in our own personal experience, we have had encounters, we've seen stories on the news of people who are desperate and longing for a way of fulfilling their needs and the needs of their families by providing for them. And so we might think of refugees, we might think of asylum seekers, we might think of needy folk of various kinds that just come to mind as we're thinking about this. If the landowner went back for them, it wasn't because of what they could do, it was because of who they were and that he loved them and wanted them included and wanted their families cared for. This parable is not about vines. It is about the kingdom of God and his love, which stretches out to the furthest and the failing and the last and the least and the falling and the ones that feel there's nothing left for them, perhaps. And the gift of eternal life is for everyone. And the gift of eternal life is beyond value. And the gift of eternal life can't be measured and offered out in smaller quantities or bigger ones. It is what it is, life itself. And so I'm thoughtful about a lady who I met in the hospice when I was a chaplain there, who at the time I was with her was very poorly, and over a period of time we talked about Jesus quite often. And she wasn't a person who'd come to faith, but she was interested in Jesus. And she got closer and closer and closer to him all the time that we were together. And I always thought, this person will die when I'm there. It makes complete sense to me that I'll be with her on her dying day. And perhaps I'll know and see her into the kingdom. And then she died on a day when I wasn't there. And I thought, that's not fair. And I never knew whether she'd met Jesus at the threshold. But what I do feel absolutely sure of, after all the times of being with people who were near the end of their lives, is that Jesus meets them wherever they are and brings them home, those who look for him, those who long for him. And even if it's after their last breath, if they were on their way home, he'd have gone to meet them. It's like the parable of the prodigal son, which we had last week, didn't we? It's just like that. So she maybe was one of those who gets into the kingdom just at the end, in the last hour, perhaps. And so I'm with not judging, I'm with being generous, I'm with being hopeful, I'm with being encouraging of everyone to find their way towards Jesus. I don't want to be judgmental about anyone. However, whilst I was away in France, I had an unfortunate experience when I was with my friends and we were sitting in the car, the key was in the ignition, and somebody came who leaned into the car, put his knee on the passenger seat, leaned in, grabbed the key out of the ignition and took it away. And although me and my friend made a valiant attempt to chase him down, which was a not sensible thing to do, actually, especially as he'd just pushed me, we weren't able to catch him. The police did, though. There's quite a more of a story, and I can't tell it all now, but they did get this guy. And when we saw him, and he was in handcuffs, I felt for him, both really annoyed that he'd done what he'd done, and he'd discarded the key. So we still don't, you know, there's another long story about what had to happen then. But I could see that this guy was a homeless guy. I could see that this guy was a needy guy. I could see that he had a story in his life that had led to that moment when he made that decision. And I am taken with how possible it might be to, as well as be angry with him, to feel love and to feel compassion and to feel about the story that brought him to there. So I was frightened. That guy stole from us, not just the car keys, but he stole the precious day that we had planned together. We spent most of it giving statements in the police station. However, treasure in that day, my friends and I together in this story of unfolding adventure, and such kindness from the police, who really did their very best for us. So much kindness from passers-by. Everybody deserves grace and mercy and respect and an awareness that they have a story. And God knows everybody's stories, and whatever their story is and whatever yours is, he will meet you in it. And if you turn towards him, he will accompany you home to the vineyard of his kingdom, where your wages are the same as everybody else's, the absolute, utter joy of his presence forever, beginning on earth and going on and on into eternity. Fantastic. Everyone is loved. Everyone has been died for by Jesus. The wages of sin paid for. So let's not be judged. Let's be thankful. Let's see everything we have as a gift. Let's be generous. Let's be workers fashioned after the heart of God, with a heart ourselves to seek out the lost and the lonely and the lacking and the limping and the longing folk, not yet discovering the kingdom of grace and mercy. And let's be ones that also bring them home and invite them in. And don't judge, but just love and love and keep on loving. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, Amen.